Our region is fortunate to have an amazing natural wonder, Powder Canyon State Park. Situated about 15 minutes east of campus on roughly 30,000 acres, it is the third most visited state park in Texas, attracting about 375,000 visitors each year. Between hiking, biking, camping, photography, attending a musical, and more, it offers something for everyone. The only problem is that for as long as the canyon has been a state park, which dates to 1934, there's never been much of anything nearby where park visitors could hang out, get a bite or beverage, buy supplies, enjoy live music on the weekends, until the Sad Monkey Mercantile opened in November 2022, a little more than a mile west of the park's entrance. It sits at the intersection of opportunity and need. Roll the intro. You're listening to Buff Speak, the official podcast of the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business at West Texas A&M University. I am Dr. Nick Gerlich, your host, as we meet up with the thought leaders making an impact today. My guests today are Michael and Jonathan Standifer, the brothers who built and opened the Sad Monkey Mercantile, or as I prefer to call it, the Monkey. Being a regular at Palo Duro means I go there after nearly every hike. It's almost as if my vehicle has a steering defect because it just wants to turn left down their driveway. It's a friendly, familiar place where everyone knows my name. Wait, wasn't that the plot of a TV show? Welcome to the show, guys. Before we get into the nuts and bolts of the business, unless you are a local or have otherwise lived here a long time, the moniker Sad Monkey Mercantile is probably lost on most people. What's up with this and why did you choose it?
Okay, well, first of all, thank you for having us on your podcast. This is really cool.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
It's kind of interesting. We can't tell you exactly where the name came from because it's still another idea that we're working on. But I can kind of tell you it was going to be called Sad Monkey something. It's just kind of, not to be vague. I don't mean to be vague. But we're named after the rock formation down in the park. And there was a train that ran up until 1996, I believe. And as kids, we loved it growing up and had a lot of fond memories.
Yeah, and then with mercantile, that's kind of a good catch-all. Like, I remember Googling that word, like, what does mercantile mean? And I think it said something like, a store where goods are sold. And we're just like, all right, well, that kind of catches everything because we weren't, you know, when we first started, we were like, well, we want to do this, we want to do that. And so what's a good catch-all name for it? And the alliteration sounds good, the Sad Monkey Mercantile.
That's good. You know, mercantile, you're right. It is a very vague phrase. You could sell just about anything and still call yourself a mercantile, right? So tell us your backstory, you know, about your childhood, how and where you grew up, you know, around here, presumably, what other things you did professionally before all of this, and basically how and why you decided to build the Monkey, not just a store in front, but also an event hall in the back.
So Michael and I were both born in Amarillo, born and raised. We grew up going to the canyon all the time. We used to actually try to rock climb down there, which wasn't the smartest because it's all sandstone. So our parents would just drop us off and we'd rappel and hike around. And we rode the Sad Monkey train when we were little.
Well, we'd spend all day in the canyon, which looking back was probably dangerous. You know, there's rattlesnakes and dangerous things, but we loved rock climbing and we were inspired by the movie Cliffhanger,
I think,
which was big at the time. And the feeling of granite was amazing. When we finally went to Colorado and did good rock climbing, but that sandstone in the canyon is not very safe.
Yeah. So I went on to, went to college in Waco and then moved down to Austin. I was there about 13 to 15 years. I was kind of off and on. My background is advertising mostly. My roommate and I tried starting a screen printing company for like t-shirts and band posters, and that wasn't paying the bills. So I ended up getting a job at a coffee shop so I could pay rent, and did that for about a year, and then finally got a job at an advertising agency doing like web and graphic design. And then after that, some friends and I started some social media, like, you know, funny meme pages, and eventually we were able to make as much as we were at our regular jobs. So we both quit our jobs and then just kind of focused on the online world. So with that, I was able to work from anywhere. So eventually I came back to Amarillo, but I wasn't sure if I was going to stay. You know how life happens. I was just kind of in this weird limbo. And I ended up getting a dog and then a TV and a couch. And Michael had the idea for Sad Monkey and asked me to help. So that's, I thought it sounded awesome. So I jumped on board and moved back for good around 2020, I think is when I finally moved out of my house in Austin. So I've been here since then, full time.
And how about you, Michael?
Okay, yeah, I was born and raised in Amarillo. I did go to school in Lubbock for a little bit, but I came back to WT as a graphic design major. And under the tutelage of Bob Carruthers, which if you haven't had a chance to meet the guy, he's an amazing guy, incredibly hard, a difficult teacher, but that's what we loved about him. When he liked your projects, you were very excited because it took a lot for him. But then I, at the time, also worked part-time with my dad in the building business and just kind of off and off small chores, like sweeping out the houses and checking the job sites, residential construction. And I just really enjoyed work with my dad and kind of didn't go into the graphic design route, but just kind of stuck with my dad and built houses and done that for about 20 years now, I think.
So what caused you to want to build the monkey and go into retail, basically?
Yeah, I tell you, the retail part was not really planned, I guess. It's kind of funny. My dad and I built some houses in the Palo Canyon Estates area, and our friend Jeff, who lived there at the time, turned his house into Airbnb and put it in the VRBO program, and it's now known as Dove's Rest. Beautiful homes that overlook the canyon, really kind of a vacation spot, you know, for everybody. But a lot of the comments were that all the people that stayed at the cabins were like, there's really not much to do in the evenings. There's not much going on. You can only stare at a campfire for so long. So about 5 years ago, the idea hit me of creating a place that people can hang out, have a good time. And that was kind of the spark of Sad Monkey Mercantile.
And so how were you able to get land so close to the canyon?
Well, and our grandfather had owned a lot of the property, Sunday Canyon, and then the property that's where the Dove's Rest cabins are. And so really just kind of, I'd say it's just been in the family for quite a long time.
And tell us the story of Sad Monkey. What is the significance here? For those who didn't grow up here or haven't been here very long, they probably don't have a clue.
But like, do you mean where the name came from?
Yeah.
Or, mm-hmm. But there's a rock formation down in the park, and it was also named after a train that ran up until 1996, and it would go throughout the park, and we loved it as kids. You sit in the back, and then have really good custard you could eat.
You know, when you're trying to think of a name for an establishment, you want something interesting that sticks out. Like, you know, when people pass, when we've had a lot of customers come in, and they don't necessarily know what we are. You know, they just come in and they say, well, we saw the name and we had to find out what this is. So, you know, if it's just so-and-so's bar and grill, that could be a little bit forgettable. But when you have a name like Sad Monkey, not only does it relate to Paladura Canyon and reminds us of our time growing up there, but also it kind of sticks out and we were looking for something original.
A lot of kids ask us to change it to Happy Monkey.
Yeah.
We get that a lot.
Yeah.
But it's just different. It's kind of emo, maybe kind of going with a weird, a cool vibe, I guess.
Yeah.
And how long did it take you to get from idea to opening day in November of 2022?
Well, it's a good question. I would say about 5 years ago, I had an idea that we're still kind of working on, but it just didn't work out. And Jonathan would be coming home for, I guess,
holidays.
For holidays, and he had seen me working on this project, and he kind of, we've always had the idea of doing camping goods. Like that was something that we always wanted and a fun place to hang out. And he had come home during the holidays and said, well, what about craft beer? You know, what if we serve craft beer and wine? So we kind of looked into that route, and then we had, of course, the merchandise.
Yeah. But it took probably, I guess we opened up, we're coming up on 3 years ago. November 7th will be our third year anniversary. So maybe 2 years of kind of planning. Cause I remember during COVID, we both had dogs and we'd go to the dog park and, just talk about, you know, what it could be, what it's going to look like, and throw around ideas. And honestly, I mean, before we had it fully developed in our minds, I think you guys put the slab down. You know, mm-hmm. it was kind of one of those things where it's like, all right, yeah. we're doing it. You know, like, this is real. This is happening. Here we go. Like,
it's just crazy.
Put our heads down and see what happens.
Our parents have been big supporters from the very beginning. Yeah. And our dad's like, all right, let's just put the footing in, roll the dice, kind of see what happens. And
yeah, with not much experience. I mean, I worked at a coffee shop and, you know, we didn't have a whole lot of experience in food and drink or retail, but it was just one of those things. We knew we wanted to do it. And so we were like, let's figure it out.
Yeah.
I've come to admire your merchandising plan because you've got a little bit of a lot, but not a whole lot of anything.
Yeah.
And how did you fall into that? I mean, you've got cast iron skillets and some other camping gear. You've got some recreational stuff. You've got lots of souvenirs. And then you've got the convenience store side of it with a really nice craft beer selection. People can take beer to go or wine. And then, of course, the tap beer and wine and sandwiches and coffees and teas and so forth. How did you find this perfect mix?
Well, it's kind of funny. We hired a girl named Courtney whose family owns a very popular grocery store in Oklahoma. And so she had come up with the idea of the groceries and the gondola and things like that. And
the gondola, we had to learn that is the big black shelving that holds all the snacks.
You see it on the right when you walk in.
It's yeah. a fixture.
Yeah. Yes.
But then the merchandise is something, you know, Jonathan is very good at. We just try to pick things that we find fun or exciting.
Yeah, we didn't want to do, you know, like your typical, and I don't mean to sound judgmental or anything, but like we didn't want to do, you know, kind of tacky souvenir stuff where there is a place for that. You know, like some people want just
a
cheap t-shirt or a yeah. knickknack or something like that. And
refrigerator magnet.
A refrigerator magnet. Yeah, which we do have, of yeah. course.
but, you have to.
Yeah,
everybody sells them.
Seriously, yeah, but you get a lot of questions about magnets.
Yeah, something we did not think about was shot glasses and magnets. And yeah. people ask every day where if we have magnets, shot glasses yeah. and magnets.
So, yeah, we would just kind of look at other, you know, shops all around that we admired and thought they have a cool setup, whether it's the layout or the products they have on the shelves. And then also, yeah, we're always tweaking it to like what will someone that's out at the canyon either need or want, whether it's a magnet, you know, that they take home, or maybe a cast iron skillet to use in the park. And then our dad had come up with the phrase "everything for the happy camper," which we've used on a few of our t-shirts and stuff. So it's just kind of like a one-stop shop because, you know, we're out in the middle of nowhere that has everything for the happy camper.
Well, I think that's brilliant because if somebody comes all this way, say they come from San Antonio to go camping at Palduro and they're in their RV and they realize, we forgot the iron skillet
yeah.
at home.
Yeah.
Well, where are they going to get one?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, as it turns out, a mile and a half outside yeah. the park. How convenient is that? And I'm sure you have a feel for that, you know, the things that are most likely forgotten by people yeah. who come to camp.
And yeah, like RV biodegradable toilet paper. You know, I've never been in an RV. I didn't know that was a thing. So yeah, we try to listen to the customers.
And I was going to say, we're both single and we don't have any children. So we're very heavy on dog toys. We have two
yes.
border collies that we love, Abby and Phoebe.
Yep.
And
we were like, we've got to have a dog park. We've got to be dog friendly. We've got to have a patio.
So many yeah, then, customers will come to us and be like, well, where's your kid shirts? Or do you have anything, you know, for kid related? And we're like, crap.
Yep.
Well, didn't even think about that.
Yeah. So, but now we have a playground and that got, you know, more use in 2 weeks than the dog park did in 2 years. But we also have a dog park as well.
Well, you mentioned tweaking, and that's important. I've noticed this because I'm a frequent flyer or offender, I guess is the
yeah,
better
no.
word for hanging out at the Monkey. And I like to come and just chill for a while after a really, really hard hike. But I'm constantly just observing the flow of customers coming in, going out, and things that, you know, I see them picking up things, you know, and buying things. And I'm just wondering if you have any stories to tell of things that resonated well, or for that matter, maybe not so well.
Well, I tell you, when we first started, we didn't think about food. That wasn't really an idea that we had. But we realized when you have a beer, you kind of want something to eat. So we looked into sandwiches, and when we first began, we would do panini sandwiches on a
panini press.
On a panini press. And it would smoke the whole place up. I mean, smoke everywhere. But we reached out to our friend Ethan, and he came up with the recipe that we have today. And the sandwiches are just crazy popular. People love our sandwiches, and they're good sandwiches. I think we eat one every week.
Yeah.
But you guys don't have a commercial kitchen, so you can't do a whole lot of food prep. You're limited what you can do, and yet what you do very well.
Right, and I'm excited. This will be an announcement, I guess. We're going to start doing smash burgers from our truck. We've moved our truck back to the patio where I think it belonged, and I think hopefully, Lord willing, starting this weekend, we're going to have smash burgers. So we're excited about that.
Well, there's nothing much hotter than smash burgers these days. I think you'll do great with that. And you mentioned the trailer. I've seen the trailer in different places, you know, in different iterations, you know, ice cream or whatever. And I think, wasn't it tacos for a while?
We did tacos. We have tried everything, I think.
Yeah. Speaking of what works and what doesn't that's that has been very tricky, because you've got a mix of, you know, healthy folks like yourself that are out hiking and maybe want something healthy. And then you've got people that want Texas barbecue. And so it's just kind of always trying to find that right balance of what we're going to serve out of there. So
what's the most common souvenir that you sell?
Stickers.
We sell a lot of stickers.
Yeah. T-shirts for sure. Or maybe second. I'm trying to think what else we've done that worked or didn't work. Is there anything we've tried that you can think of that?
Well, it's kind of funny. We'll come up with something that we think is going to be just a huge hit.
Yeah.
They're like, this is going to be amazing. And then nobody buys it.
I think. Yeah.
Or, you know, we come up with something that we think, nobody, that's not very popular. Nobody's going to buy those. And then they turn up, we can't keep them on the shelf.
Yeah.
Well, and then finding the right amount of each of the different sizes to buy.
Oh, yeah.
That's a nightmare. You are implicitly trying to predict how many extra small people are going to come through the door and give you money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that can be a totally random thing. And you can wind up with a bunch of inventory, unsold inventory at the end of a season, like, you know, all the odd sizes, or maybe you didn't have enough extra small. You had a bunch of really small people come in.
Yeah.
And they all wanted to buy a shirt, and by golly, you were fresh out of them.
Completely out.
Yeah, it's weird how that works. Sometimes, you know, like, we'll sell out of smalls like super fast. So the next time we're like, okay, let's get more smalls. You do, and then you sell out of, you know, extra large. And we also have an online store where people can buy merchandise. And so that's been a little tricky at times, just because, you know, you've got to make sure it synchronizes with our store inventory. So we got to stay on top of that. But yeah, we're hoping to make a big push for that pretty soon too, just to kind of announce, you know, that, I mean, we've had it since we started, but I'm not sure a lot of people know about it. And, you know, we'll tell people that are visiting, if we're out of a size, to check our website in a couple of weeks.
One thing we do have in stock, which I think is funny, is our first shipment that ever came out. They delivered these bear containers that you put your food in. It'll keep it safe from bears.
Oh, yeah.
We have been
because we
have so many bears. Yeah.
It was an accident. They sent it to us and we're like, oh, somebody will buy this. You know, they'll put their sandwich in it. But not only are they like crazy expensive, we don't have bears, you know, so they've been sitting collecting
dust
for
since
about 3 years.
Like day one.
So. Yeah. So those did not work. Don't buy bear containers.
Don't buy bear trap.
Yeah.
That's hilarious, actually. Yeah, you would get stuck with bear containers.
Bear proof.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we all know that tourism has its seasons, from high season to shoulder season. And you've been doing this now for almost 3 years. What kinds of patterns have you noticed, and how have you adapted to them? Because we all know that traffic to Powder Canyon is not even throughout the year. It's not even throughout the week. And so it comes and it goes. It, you know, ebbs and flows, and there are busy times and not so busy times. And yet you're there 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. We can't move you, right? You're stuck there.
No.
So how have you adapted to this reality? Because let's face it, other than Powder Canyon and a few houses there in Sunday Canyon, there's not a whole lot of traffic.
No, and we see that. Like the heat of summer and the freezing winter, that's kind of when nobody goes to the park, and sadly, nobody comes to the monkey. But We're working on some really fun events. We've got some really fun stuff planned.
Yeah, which goes back to your question. I don't think we answered earlier when you had mentioned the hall, the event center in the back, and how that plays into our business model. And we the goal is to use that. It's available for private events like weddings and anniversaries and whatnot. But we also hope to use it more during the downtimes for larger events to bring people out and give them something to do. So yeah, I think we have some good stuff in the books. I think we've got a new event coordinator who's Naya, who's done a really good job. So yeah, we've got some good stuff coming up.
Good. And you contract or expand your hours during the peaks and the valleys? And
yeah, when it's in the mid-dead of winter, we close earlier, and then in summer we stay open later, which is nice.
Yeah, but the fall's a good time. So yeah, we're always, you know, but then we'll have days where we don't expect anyone to show up, but it'll be super busy. So it's just really unpredictable.
Or, you know, the park will close because of the rain and the weather, and then they all come to the Monkey, which we love. You know, we'll get a big group of people.
So that actually benefits you when the trails are closed.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Yeah.
After the break, we'll take a look at the role the Monkey plays for both park guests and the local community.
The MBA is the most popular graduate degree in the United States, and with good reason. It leads to better jobs, promotions, and salary increases. At the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business at West Texas A&M University, our MBA program is entirely online for when you're ready to make that move. With as few as 31 credit hours and specializations offered in 5 areas, you can fast-track your career in as little as 18 months. Whether you're looking for a promotion or initial job placement, you'll stand head and shoulders above the competition. And because we've been teaching online since 1997, we're not the new kids on the block. Trust your education and career to dedicated faculty who are not only experts in their fields, but also old pros in the online arena. Our consistently high rankings say it all. A GMAT waiver is available. We're AA CSB accredited and among the most elite of business schools around the world. Reach for the stars and do it with a WT MBA in hand. For more information, find us at wtamu.edu/COB or call 806-651-2500. From the Texas Panhandle to the world, we're here to help you reach those stars.
I've noticed you having an increasing number of events held at the Monkey, from music to bingo to Brains and Brews, Oktoberfest. And you graciously invited me to your Brains and Brews inaugural event back in the summer. That was a lot of fun. Walk us through how you decide what kinds of things to host.
You did a great job at the Brains and Brews.
Oh, thank you.
Your presentation was awesome.
That was awesome. Probably one of our biggest attended events, too.
Yeah. So. And hope to have you back soon.
Absolutely.
I tell you, the ideas are funny. Like we travel a lot. We go to different breweries and meet with different people, and we'll come up with an idea just on the road, or even, as we all know, 217 is a long drive sometimes. And so by the time you get to the Monkey, you're like, wow, that's the idea that would work. That's going to be great. Let's do that.
And what about this event hall? What role does it play in your business model? Is it like a primary driver, or is it a secondary thing that you do?
Kind of the original idea was there's a building called the MacDick Pavilion down in the park, and a beautiful building. We kind of had the idea that, okay, get married at the pavilion and then come back and have your wedding reception in the hall. And that's kind of where we started, but we realized we did a dance class recently, several dance classes, and they've been a big hit. So we're like, okay, let's maybe do more dancing lessons and other events.
But I'd say probably secondary right now. I think the idea was to kind of supplement some income on those down seasons like you were talking about. But eventually, who knows? I mean, we've got big ideas for it, so maybe it could become more of a primary, you know, if we're trying to get some more live music in there or this and that.
An idea we're working on, which I think will be really cool, is have a bigger name artist come and play. And then I don't know if many people remember, but MTV Unplugged, where it's just a private kind of quiet setting. But we can fit about 200 people seated, I think, maybe less than that. But just it would be really cool to have a big name artist come in and sing, and just a very private show. So that's kind of something we're working on.
So which events are the best attended? I mean, is it music? Is it a Brains and Brews?
Yeah, Brains and Brews. We're definitely going to keep that going.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, that was one of our biggest events.
This is kind of a shameless plug. This weekend, we have our Oktoberfest, and that has been one of our biggest, most fun events that we've ever come up with. And specifically this year, we're going to go really, really big.
So. Yeah, Saturday the 27th, I think.
From noon till close, great musicians playing, good food. We're going to try to serve German sausages. Mm-hmm. And we got actual German beer on tap. We're going to do all the Stein holding contest. And if you have Lederhosen, please wear your Lederhosen because we're going to have...
Yeah, costume contest.
So having outdoor events, though, means you're subjected to... the whims of the weather, which can be crazy out here, as we all know. It can be windy. It can destroy outdoor equipment. I know you've experienced this, and you're not the only one.
Well,
hail. It can be cold. It can be too hot. There can be, you know, flies that bite you and all these nasty things. How do you deal with this?
We're both laughing because the sails. We've had those beautiful sails on our patio have been destroyed at least three times now, I think.
Yeah. No, the weather has been the probably the biggest challenge since we opened our doors. Yeah. I mean, just A, we're out in the, you know, I was say the out in the middle of nowhere. We built a structure that's not surrounded by other buildings. It's not surrounded by trees. There's nothing to block the wind.
Sitting duck.
There's bugs. There's... hail, there's snow. I mean, the weather out here is very much different than what I was used to, but it's just, it's not moderate. It's
it's very aggressive.
It's a challenge. Mother Nature.
Well, there's one day I remember we were just completely packed, had a whole full house of people, and they're all having fun, drinking beers, eating good food. And they're laughing, and I'm thinking, we're about to get hit by something. This is, I mean, it was so loud, and the rain was coming down so hard. But everybody's having a good time.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
But the hall comes in handy for days like that. We can, you know, there's been times where we try to push people. If we have a big event, like we have the outdoor stage on our patio, and so we'll have musicians play out there. But if the weather tends to be uncooperative, we'll either have them inside the Mercantile, or if it's a bigger artist, put them in the hall. So we do our best, you know, to deal with the weather. But yeah, it's definitely always a challenge.
And how do you find people like musicians and singers and so forth? How do you find these people to get them booked?
A lot of it's word of mouth. There's like definitely, well, A, there's a much bigger music scene in the Panhandle than I realized. There's a lot of
people.
Good talent up here. And I think they have a community within themselves where they, you know, talk to each other and you know, tell their buddy, hey, you should go play at Sad Monkey. And a lot of people reach out to us directly on Instagram or our website. So,
well, let's talk about your visitors, because I think this is fascinating since so we have so many tourists down in the canyon here. Let's just start off in simple things. Any idea what percentage of your customers are locals like me as opposed to the percentage that are tourists?
Yeah, it's very interesting. We use a program called Square. And we can see where they come from, which is
zip codes.
The zip codes. And I believe it was 70% of our customers are from out of town or overseas, and about 30 to 40 are local. So we get a lot of tourists, and we meet a lot of people.
Yeah, and it's growing with local, which is great. Mm-hmm. At first, it was like the first year, I think it was 80% out of town, 20% local. But that local's going up, which is great because, you know, we definitely want more locals to come out.
And since you have that zip code information, any idea how many different states you have had represented?
It's interesting. Houston. We get so many people from Houston that are on their way to
Colorado. Yeah, we're definitely a midway stop between here and Colorado, or Santa Fe. A lot of Houston. We get a lot of Kansas. All over, honestly. And, you know, we've said it from the beginning. It's a little hokey, but we always... talk about putting up a map, you know, like of the world for people to put a pin, but we'll get to that someday.
I got a kind of funny story. There was a guy from Brazil, and he didn't speak any English, and I know a little bit of Spanish, So when I said something in Spanish, he just started talking to me as if I knew Spanish. And I was freaking out like, okay, no, I don't know Spanish that well. But I ended up pulling out my phone and we had a conversation on Google Translate. And it was funny. We were just at the bar and I'd hand my phone to him and he would hand the phone back. And he said something to me on the way out. And sadly, I don't know what he said because he wasn't able to translate it. My phone is in my pocket, but I'm always curious what he said when he left.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe he...
Let's hope it was complimentary.
Yeah. The meaning of life, he just told you, you missed it.
Have any of these guests really stood out? I mean, you know, someone famous maybe or almost famous?
Oh, yeah. Just this past weekend or 2 weekends ago?
No, I think it was last weekend, yeah.
Jack...
The Great.
Jack the Great stopped by. And he's an internet sensation who... It's interesting. He goes to businesses and he turns off the lights. Like it's something as simple as just counting down and turning off the lights. And he had walked in our store and our bartenders, Myla and Jacob at the time were like, hey, you need to get here. This Jack is in the store. So
a 13-year-old kid, I'll get the Instagram account just to give him a shout out. Cause they did a little video reel of our store and posted it.
Super nice kid. The parents were just really friendly. Spent hours talking to him.
Yeah, great people. Light, LIGHT 4079. Yeah, so look him up. He's got about 420,000 followers, you know, on Instagram. So it was cool to have him in. But no one like, you know, we haven't seen Harrison Ford or, you know, anybody super famous. We thought maybe they'd wander in at some point, but.
We're hoping, dude. Like if they film down in the canyon, you know, maybe they'll stop by the monkey for a beer.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
What types of marketing do you do to attract customers?
We've got like our email list that we send out. We ran a commercial in Amarillo for, I think it was like 6 months. We're working with High Plains Radio to do radio advertisements. Instagram,
a lot
Facebook.
Of social media.
Yeah, social media. But fortunately, people... like our merchandise, you know, which is, we're very lucky on that. And, a lot of it is, you know, we get people that come in and say, oh, I saw one of y'all's t-shirts somewhere or something
you
like
mean,
that.
We're doing your marketing for you.
Yeah. Well, no, I saw a guy walking into Pack-A-Sack and he had one of our hats on and I got out of my truck to be like, hey, I like your hat, you know, whatever. But I'm like, he didn't know who I am. It's some crazy guy just complimenting his hat, but it's neat to see our stickers around town. I've seen, or even our customers will send us pictures. Was it in Canada that somebody found? Yeah. Sent us a photo of somebody wearing our sweatshirt.
Yeah, it might have been of me because I have worn my Sad Monkey hoodie in Canada, in Florida, and I've had people ask questions, where is the Sad Monkey?
I see, we owe you some ad dollars.
Yeah.
We're definitely covering your beers next time you're in the store.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
So, we all know that paid media is expensive. I mean, whether you're sponsoring a post on Facebook or Instagram or putting up a billboard along Highway 217 or even just having a website and having an online store, all that costs money. You're a family-owned business, and until you're serving 500,000 or more people a year, I understand it can be day-to-day, you know, on a shoestring here. To that end, how do you accomplish what you do while continually trying to get the most bang for your buck?
It is tough.
You never not think about work, pretty much. It's always, right, the gears are always turning. It's kind of weird. Like, I don't know. Like, we're...
Yeah, that's a tough question. Advertising is definitely expensive, and... unfortunately, it doesn't work as well as you think it would. I mean, I remember hearing, because, I mean, I used to work in advertising. I remember hearing that people need to see like a commercial at least 3 times before it's stuck in their head or before they actually visit the place. And so, you know, when you're running a commercial for, I think we, what did I say, 6 months, that's not, probably not enough. You'd have to run it for a year or more for people to actually, the chances of them seeing it on the TV 3 times. So anyway, now we're always trying, you know, different ideas, and we need to be better about it, but guerrilla marketing is a good, cheaper way, whether it's like when I lived in Austin, my buddy and I had a comedy website, and we would just go all over town putting stickers like everywhere. You know, you'd slap it at the bar bathrooms, you'd put it on the
We did that. We did
a
lot of
light posts.
We spent a lot of time in Austin's, or we got a lot of friends in Austin.
Yeah.
To help us kind of come up with some ideas. And we put stickers pretty much in every bathroom of every.
Yeah. You can't really do that here just because you don't see stickers everywhere. You know, for some reason down there, there's just stickers on everything. And so you don't get in trouble. But little things like that, you know, we have put flyers on campus. You know, we need to do that more. And, yeah, just different ways of getting the name out there or whatever you can to get in front of people's faces.
Well, and it kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier. We get so many tourists from all over, and then they wear our merch. And that does – it's not really our intention. We wanted to design merch that we would wear, not like just tacky, crappy clothing. But so many people buy our shirts and our hats, and I think that just – that does help bring people in.
And you also take advantage of free marketing. I mean, I follow your Facebook and Instagram stories, and you don't have to pay to do those. You can, but that just boosts them, that's all. But you can go the free route and still get a lot of mileage out of it. That's how I know what you guys are doing, basically. I see it all the time. And the algorithms reward both you and the viewer when you interact with something, either by just watching or liking or whatever. Then they give you more of it to look at. They think, oh, he must like that. So they make sure I see the sad monkey every day. Whatever Naya has posted, that's what I see. And so it kind of becomes a recurring thing. And it doesn't necessarily have to cost money unless you want to.
Well, you know, we primarily do all the social media because we enjoy, we'll come up with something that we think is funny or hilarious, or Jonathan is excellent at graphic design. And we get excited just kind of putting that out there. And then on some things we think are just great or hilarious, we don't get many likes. But for the most part, we'll get a couple of thumbs up.
Yeah. Well, no new business escapes having challenges. What have some of yours been?
Ooh.
Well, the weather, that's always been tough. And honestly, the distance. Like, we're really not that far when you think about it. We're about 15 minutes from Canyon.
It's interesting to Amarillo. It seems like we're just far away. We're pretty much not too far, but
So,
but growing up, we would always come to the canyon, and I enjoy the drive because it's kind of time to catch up on podcast and listen to music. But I think to somebody that hasn't been to the Monkey, they realize okay, it is kind of a journey. But we also want to try to advertise as a daycation, as a place to hang out.
Like you're just outside of town.
To get away from it, or away from it all isn't out of the way, is one of our phrases.
Yeah. But yeah, I would say that staffing has been a little challenging, but I feel like we have a really good crew right now. We've gotten lucky with some really good staff members.
Well, and that was a life lesson that we kind of learned the hard way. Our friend Phyllis had told us early on that she said, don't get too attached to your staff. They won't be around, you know, forever, I guess. And sadly, nobody working today started our business then. So, but we still keep in touch with some of them. And, but that was kind of a hard reality because I thought we were going to take a photo of all of us outside of the building and be like, you know what, 20 years from now, we're going to look at this. And sadly, that wouldn't work.
Well, for any of our listeners who might have entrepreneurial aspirations, about how many hours a week does this job take?
How many hours are in a week?
Yeah, 168.
Yeah, about 167, I'd say.
Every bit of it.
Well, it shows, though, because you've got a really slick operation. It's clean. It's well-organized. It always looks like there's brains behind this, and things are there for a reason, not just happenstance.
Yes. Well, thank you. Yeah, you just never not think about work. We can be in Austin talking to people about beer, and we're thinking, okay, what about this for the Monkey? What about that?
Right. Yeah. Always looking at everything around us, trying to, and it always, or see how that would relate to our establishment. But no, lately we've had a schedule where our general manager Dylan will take over on Monday, Tuesday, so Michael and I can have couple days off, and that helps. But again, we're always still thinking about it or checking on this, checking on that. Hey, did you hear from this guy? Hey, did that get delivered? So it takes a lot. I mean, it definitely consumes your life, but we both really enjoy it. And, it's something to do, you know, I don't know what else we'd be doing. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to run off into the weeds here just a little bit because you mentioned, Austin and beer, and I know that you guys have made some beer runs.
Oh, yeah.
To be able to keep your the breadth of your selection always enticing. Tell us about that.
That's one of our favorite parts. Our favorite part is not only do we get to, you know, get out of town for a little bit and check out new cities, but, you know, Michael and I may try the beers every now and again, you know, every now and again. So we kind of get tired of the same old stuff. And the beauty of it is we've got 8 taps. And they're always changing, which some people, like, you know, we've had a few customers, they'll come in and say, hey, I had this beer, you know, 2 months ago. Do you still have that on tap? And we're like, no.
Every time.
But most people like the fact that we change it. It's always something new. And not only, you know, just the different varieties, but the different breweries that we can't get from local distributors. And so, like, our local distributors do a great job. Jamie is fantastic. She's always setting us up with the best beer. But every now and again, we'll go to somewhere like Austin, Dallas, Lubbock, and pick up beers that we can't get through a local distributor. And it is legal for us to go pick up those kegs and bring them back. So it keeps things fresh. And we try to post about it online so everybody knows. All the local beer heads can be like, oh, they got this. I got to come try it so I don't have to drive 6 hours, you know.
As long as it's in state.
Yes. As long as it's in state.
Crossing state lines gets tricky.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is a shame because there's some good New Mexico beer.
I was going to say New Mexico and Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And I have to ask a related question. I'm sure you get asked, do you have such and such? And I'm not going to name any macro brand beers, but I'm sure you get that question a lot. Do you have something that is my favorite brand that I can buy in every store in America? And yet you don't.
I don't know.
Wait, micro brews?
Macro.
Oh, macro.
Yeah.
So, okay. Honestly, I'll tell you this. Surprisingly, we were so happy. So when we first opened, we had 2 of those beers on tap out of 8. And those 2 kegs, the big, you know,
the nationals.
Yeah, whatever you want to call them. It took, I'd say, maybe a month or two to get through those smaller kegs. And so as soon as we got through them, we were like, all right, take them off the board. Let's fill that spot with 2 craft beers. And so I think because we get a lot, it seems like there's a correlation between hikers, campers, bikers, and craft beer. I think there's a culture there between people who like to stay fit and then people who drink craft beer. I don't know what it is, but so we get a lot of craft beer drinkers out there, which is great. And so, yeah. So we, rarely do we, I mean, we still have the domestics in bottles and cans if they want that, but on tap, we like to reserve those for the what we think are better beers.
Well, I'll tell you, Ankerstein beer. Have you ever tried Ankerstein?
I have.
That's my favorite beer in the world, and I think they're, sadly, then maybe they'll come back. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like there's a rumor they might.
Be nice. And I got to ask you, shifting gears here, I know you're a fan of Tool.
Oh, yeah.
And you happen to get some Caduceus wine not too long ago?
We do. We've got Caduceus wine, and I have Dylan, our general manager, keep an eye on it, because anytime Tool comes up with a new wine, I'm hoping to have it on our shelves. So.
Well, that's good. Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty classy product. I mean, it's not like going to buy a $10 bottle of Stella, you know?
It's expensive. It's a little pricey, but Jonathan was kind enough. I think you got me tickets to Tool for my birthday. Was it a birthday, or did I buy them?
I think you paid for those,
I think I treated you to a Tool concert. But it was such an amazing show. I loved every bit of it. They're very hypnotic, maybe?
Yeah, I used to play drums, so being able to see that drummer live was quite an experience.
Very cool.
When we come back, we'll try to sneak a peek into the crystal ball.
There's a reason why our programs are rated so highly by independent reviewers. We are committed to continuously improving what we do. Whether it is in the classroom or online, the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business strives to stay ahead of the curve, not behind it. Join us in the classroom or online and see the difference. We're WACSB accredited and among the most elite business schools around the world. Reach for the stars and do it with a WT business degree in hand. For more info, find us online at wtamu.edu/cob or call 806-651-2525. From the Texas Panhandle to the world, we are here to help you reach for those stars.
I'm always thinking about the future, and as much as I love studying the past as well as learning from it, there is simply no future in it. Michael and Jonathan, where do you go from here?
You want to take that one?
That is the question.
Yeah.
We've got, like I said, a lot of things planned for the winter and the months ahead, which I'm excited about. And
yeah, we've got a lot of ideas for the future. We have some land out there, so we're always trying to think up what could we put here, what could we
What's
put
missing?
There. So none of them have taken full root just yet, but we definitely have some ideas and some 5-year goals, 10-year goals maybe.
Well, and it's kind of interesting. We have pretty much a folder of ideas that we keep coming back to. We'll kind of like, okay, let's keep adding to this folder. Mm-hmm. But then we've also got, okay, what's coming up Saturday? What are we going to work on this in 2 weeks? We got this coming up. So
right.
there's always a plate in the air, I would say. Always a ball in the air.
Yeah.
And where do you see Palo Canyon tourism going? I mean, I am fascinated by tourism down at the canyon we are one of the most remote state parks in Texas, and to be number 3 with 375,000 says a lot, because number 1 and number 2, let's see, number 1 is just north of Fort Worth, so it's got 8.5 million people right nearby, and number 2 is Gardner, which is like an hour west of San Antonio and Austin, two major metro areas themselves. And here we are, conveniently located kind of in the middle of nowhere, pulling in a solid third place.
Yeah, it blows my mind how we get customers that are maybe 70 or 80 years old, and it's their first time seeing the canyon. So that always shocks me. I'm like, you know, we've always, we love the canyon. I hope we're contributing to the canyon. But yeah, we'll meet people that have just heard about it for the first time.
Yeah, I'd bring my buddies up all the time, and they had never heard of Palo Duro Canyon. And then even, you know, until we were 20 seconds away, they thought I was messing with them because it's such a flat road, and then boom, it hits. But thanks to your lecture at, or not lecture, your Brains and Brews, speech, what did you tell us that, you don't think we'll become a national park?
Oh, we almost became a national
That's right.
park. Yeah, in the 1930s. Very, very close. Actually, national monument.
Monument, that's it.
There was somebody, a landowner who didn't want to budge, and it kind of, the deal fell apart after that, unfortunately. It could have been amazing if we had reached national monument level, but I doubt that'll ever happen now. We'll forever be a state park, but hey, it's a great one, and I'm just wondering, you know, is that even going to be able to grow? Because there are capacity limitations. There's only so much parking down there. There's only so many campsites. I hear it's about 140 or so. And then, of course, just being able to get through the gate on a weekend, right? You know,
we
measure the length of time to get in is whether the line is out to the zip line, or the former zip line. You know, if it's out that far, you're going to be in line for 30 to 45 minutes just to get in. Do you think we'll be able to continue holding down number 3, or can we grow? I mean, we've actually softened just a little bit since COVID. COVID caused everybody to do kind of nearby staycations and outdoors, because it was safer than being indoors with a bunch of other people. So we've since come down a little bit, but that's true of all the state parks. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, we're friends with the parks, our park, and they tell us how they're getting more and more visitors. So it seems like people are getting out, and we hope that in some way we're contributing to the visitors to the park. But
yeah, and I know they've talked about building a second entry booth. I don't know what that's called, to help speed up the wait times, you know, which would be great. And it seems like Canyon itself is growing, and you know, like yourself, there are a lot of regulars we have at the Monkey that going to the Canyon is just kind of part of their, you know, lifestyle, which is awesome.
We had a woman stay for 6 hours on Sunday. She came for lunch, and she just hung out on the patio for 6 hours. And
yeah.
I asked her, I was like, do you need a ride? You know, or call you a taxi or whatnot. She's like, no, I just love hanging out here.
Yeah. But yeah, hopefully like more locals will go out to the canyon. And I feel like canyon's growing. So I think we could hold it down.
Mm-hmm. Well, three. Speaking of locals, I mean, what are the challenges? I mean, if we are down in the canyon, hiking, biking, doing the things we like to do, then it's a pretty easy proposition. We have to go past you. There's only one way in and out mm-hmm. of yep, the canyon. Yep. So I see you coming and going here. And when I'm leaving, that usually means I'm thirsty and probably hungry as well. But what about attracting people who aren't necessarily going to the canyon and would therefore have to make kind of a longish trek down a dead-end road?
Events is what it comes down to.
A lot of people will literally come out to whatever event we have. We'll make the trip. And
yeah, we have to throw something that makes it worth that drive for the locals. So again, you know, we're working on some big ideas that we think will hopefully be a good time. And our Oktoberfest is always a good one. So
it gets down to perceptual maps. I've been here long enough to know this. I know that I-40 is a perceptual brick wall for anybody who lives like down here in Canyon. Going across I-40, you may as well be going to Dumas. Mm-hmm. It just seems so far in your mind. But at the same time, Canyon and people from this portion here in South Randall County are so used to going to Amarillo for pretty much everything anyway. Going north is not that big of a deal, at least as long as you don't cross I-40. Then it becomes a long trip. But it doesn't work that way the other way around. Amarilloans have everything they need. They don't have to come to Canyon unless they really want to.
Right.
So for Canyon restaurants, for example, to become a destination for Amarillo people, that's a victory. And I would consider it similarly for you guys to get somebody to come out for an event or whatever all the way from Amarillo, which in their mind, going the other way, may as well be Lubbock. You know?
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah.
But it goes back to what Michael was saying. You can drive 25, 30 minutes because we want people to be comfortable. So even if we're not having an event, they can drive 30 minutes, chill out, have a good beer, sit with their dog, enjoy the patio, look at the Longhorns, and get somewhat of a vacation vibe rather than driving 4 hours to Santa Fe or 6 hours to Dallas or something. So just kind of a decompress, you know, like, so we do have people that come out just to kind of get away and like leave your worries back in Amarillo, you know, even though it's not that far. I-27, I didn't really think about that. I don't know how long that's going to be under construction. So
Another 4 years,
gosh.
I tell you, it's scary with the concrete barriers, you know, left and right of you that I get nervous.
Yeah, it's not pleasant.
Not very pleasant.
Of course, we have to talk about competitors. There's a winery not far away, as well as a brewery and a new live music venue and restaurant here in Canyon. Are these good things or do they cause you to lose sleep at night?
Well, it's interesting. We kind of talk about this. We don't really think of them as competitors just because it's a different vibe. Like I know with the local breweries and the wineries, you kind of go to a brewery because you love the beer or you go to a winery because you love the wine. And we're not necessarily a beer or a wine or we're kind of a multifaceted business. And we do have music and we love supporting locals and we see that they do that. And it's awesome. It's great that they support.
Yeah. And hopefully with more options comes more residents, you know, like hopefully this will encourage the growth of Canyon and what's that phrase, the rising water floats all the ships or something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, hopefully it'll just continue to add more culture and stuff to do to the city.
Well, and personally, I love seeing how Canyon has grown. Like I went to school back in 2000 and it was small town, I guess, but we would always go to Amarillo, Midnight Rodeo. If everybody's got horrible memories of Midnight Rodeo, but it was fun and we had good times. And even this WT campus blows my mind how much it's grown. And a lot of our employees work with the meat, what do you call it? The agricultural building,
yeah.
Which blows my mind. I don't know where I was going with that.
Well, I think I know where you're going. Basically, you're saying we've come a long way.
Right.
And here's some evidence. Only 11 years have passed, guys. November 2014, when the city of Canyon voted itself partially wet, not completely wet, and some would say moist, but moist enough that you could buy beer and wine at retail, and with the right license, you could have a full bar, actually. That was a big change for this city, and I'll never forget going across the street to the supermarket here on the day when it became legal. They had completely gutted one aisle to make room for all these new products that they could never sell before. It changed the town. Now, you're outside city limits. You're in the county. You're governed differently. But I can't help but think that this election result has helped Canyon prosper in many ways. We now have three nice hotels. We have numerous restaurants. All of those competitors we just talked about. And most importantly, you guys are here. My question is, where do you see the city of Canyon going in the coming years?
I think it'll just keep growing. I think, I don't know, like it seems, I don't know, like further south, you go to the Burger King here in Canyon, it seems like that area right there is destined to get bigger and bigger. And I don't know, I just think Canyon will just continue to grow.
Yeah, I mean, you're in the construction business, so you know a little bit about like some neighborhoods being developed and whatnot. So I wish... Speaking of being voted, I was gone. I hadn't moved back yet. The Imperial Tap Room. I wish I could have experienced that.
That was epic.
I heard good things about
good.
That. Yeah,
it was good. It was ahead of its time. It was good. Do you see Canyon ever becoming a tourist destination on the order of, say, Fredericksburg or a Wimberley downstate in Hill Country?
I do. I think it can, you know, the brewery that has opened recently, I think that's going to bring a lot of people. I think that's going to provide more avenues for businesses that maybe we're not even thinking of to come to Canyon and grow.
Yeah, I don't know. I hadn't really ever thought about that. I feel like with, Wimberley, you've got swimming holes and wineries in Fredericksburg. Turkey, Texas is a destination, I think, with its music and hotel. So Canyon, I think it's definitely possible. I just feel like it needs that one thing. I don't know.
I think the city of Canyon is doing a good job getting their name out. I think I see a lot more advertising.
Yeah, the rebrand looks great. I think our friend helped with that. The website and I've seen the billboards. Yeah, it looks really good. So yeah, I I'm fairly new to Canyon. I just moved there a year ago, moved here a year ago. So, what do you think the destination attraction would be? Just the canyon? Or?
It's going to be a combination of things. I see it as definitely the canyon.
Yeah.
And as long as you've got a growing number of key business types and business players like the restaurants, the hotels, the breweries, the wineries, the live music venues and so forth, they all feed off each other.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If any one of those were missing in the mix, the whole thing would come crumbling down. You've got to have all of those things. I have seen how Fredericksburg has grown since the early 90s, and it's insane. You know, that was a sleepy little town with a German name. It was actually, you know, kind of 50-50 of Germanic heritage or Hispanic heritage, but it didn't really seem to be going anywhere until some people discovered it and word got around, and then it just took off. And now it's, I've been told it's the most expensive city to live in the whole state of Texas.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I always thought I'd move to the small town of Dripping Springs, you know, but that's the same. That's blown up too, and it's more like a suburb now, and I hear it's very, very pricey.
Well, I hope to see that for Canyon. I don't want to ruin all the cool sides of Canyon. I mean, I was telling my stepdaughter yesterday, I said, the things I like best about Canyon are, I know my mechanic and I know my banker, the two most important people I need.
Right.
I can do anything.
Yeah, that's the tough part is having something special like Canyon. You know, I really like Canyon and then, or any town in Texas, and then having it blow up and then.
We have a little piece of paper that we call the Jungle Book, and it's all places that we recommend. And a lot of it, there's some in Amarillo, but primarily in Canyon. But just because there's so many good local restaurants and as a tourist, you want to know, where do you go? Like, I hate to say it, people ask us, what's the best steak in town? And we say the grill on your patio. Yeah. Because, I don't know, there's a lot of good steaks out there, but cook them one on your own.
Well, let's look just a little bit further down the road here with regard to you. What do you think you'll be doing with the monkey in the next 5 years or 10 years? Do you see yourself retiring with this someday in many years? Any exciting new things you can tease us with?
Well, one idea we talk about is, and who knows if it would ever happen, but I don't know if I would use the word franchise, but we've talked about, you know, opening something like this somewhere else, in a different city and maybe near a park or I don't know. So that's always kind of floating in the back of my head.
We could write a book about the struggles of coming up with a business because we know all the headaches that have come with it.
We had some friends, and I don't know if you can keep this, but they're two brothers, Matt and Grady, and they started a brewery, a coffee shop, and a restaurant, all three different businesses. But they wanted to write a book called F It Up and Fix It, where it's just like, basically, you try something, it doesn't go right, and then you figure out how to fix it. Like, because that's pretty much what starting a business consists of. I don't know. Do you have any ideas you want to?
Well, I don't know. We just kind of, we love coming up with ideas, and we never know, we don't know what the future holds.
Which one's going to land, yeah.
But
yeah, also, yeah, Canyon's changing a little bit. And you almost have to hold off on, well, I don't know if that would make sense.
We don't think too far ahead.
Last question. I noticed you planted some grapevines out front. What's the plan for those?
Okay, yeah, we're excited about those.
A winery.
A small batch winery.
Pretty much.
We had the idea of for more aesthetics because it looks, if those can grow and look really pretty, the monkey's going to look pretty when you pull in and see all these grapevines. It's still a ways out, but we're hoping to try our hand at a wine.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be anything like a full-blown winery, but you know, we'd be able to use those grapes and along with some other ones for a Sad Monkey wine. I think we're working on a Sangiovese.
Sad Monkey Sangiovese. And the idea is, you know, it may taste like, hopefully it tastes good, but if not, they can take the bottle home and be like, hey, this is another souvenir that I got from
the monkey. It kind of adds to the experience.
Yeah.
My guests today have been Michael and Jonathan Standifer, owners of the Sad Monkey Mercantile outside Palador Canyon. If you haven't been, you need to. It's a cool place. Better yet, it's good to see local entrepreneurs rise to the occasion to fill a market need. Fade to black and roll credits. You've been listening to Buff Speak from the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business at West Texas A&M University. Our executive producer is Justin Lovell, and Allison Hunter is our associate producer. Our co-editors are Maverick Evans and Paul Torres. Lindsay Bjork is our Director of Marketing and Outreach Initiatives, which includes overseeing BuffSpeak. Dr. Jeffrey Babb is Director of Accreditation and is our technical consultant. Finally, Dr. Amjad Abdulat is Dean of the college. You can find us online at wtamu.edu/cob for more information about our programs. Be sure to check out our many academic offerings. Come for the quality, stay for the small classes, affordable tuition, and friendly, approachable professors. And look online at our faculty blog, profspeak.com, for more insights. You can listen to BuffSpeak on your favorite podcast portal, as well as on our website, buffspeak.biz. And if you like what you've been hearing, don't be afraid to share us with your friends, colleagues, and family. Word of mouth has always been the best form of advertising. Until next time, love one another. For the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business at West Texas A&M University, I am Dr. Nick Gerlich. And as always, go Buffs! BuffSpeak.